This is the fourth season of Record of Change, and I'm Pratap Nair, your host for this episode. Here at the podcast, we talk to people from around the world to understand how the COVID-19 pandemic is shaping their lives. Starting this season, Record of Change is going bi-weekly, and we will hear from a mix of new and familiar voices. I'm talking to you from the city of Düsseldorf in Germany, where the German government has cautiously started reopening efforts, even as infection numbers show no sign of slowing down. Today, we will hear from Jurans, a primary healthcare worker from Cameroon's capital city, Yaoundé. She runs a healthcare center in Yaoundé with her husband. Jurans says Cameroonians simply don't have the privilege to stay at home because hunger is a bigger worry than coronavirus. Here's a conversation. First of all, I want to thank you for your time. Can you tell me where you are, Jurans?
I'm in Yaoundé, Cameroon, and presently I'm at my clinic, Quality Healthcare Clinic.
Describe the surroundings. What would I see if I were there?
If you're around here, you're going to be seeing a dusty road. You're going to be seeing pupils and students who are, some are coming back from school while others are going to school. You're going to be seeing beautiful flowers and very tall trees around. You're going to be seeing so many houses. Some are very new, others are very old. And you're going to be seeing bikes and taxis passing by the roadside.
Thanks for that beautiful imagery. I understand you and your husband run a primary healthcare clinic.
Yes, we do.
Can you tell me a little bit about your clinic?
So my clinic, Quality Healthcare Clinic, it's a primary healthcare clinic where we offer services like laboratory care, pharmacy, hospitalization, mother and child care, and minor surgery. So at the moment, we just do antenatal consultation for pregnant women, but when they have to deliver, they go to other health services because for now, we don't do deliveries at a place. So mainly here, what we want to do in our clinic is that we want to offer every patient the care that they've always dreamt of. Here in Cameroon, people who are not financially very wealthy, they don't get the quality of care that they want. So you're treated according to your finances. Mainly these people, they go to the public hospitals, and in public hospitals, they are not really well cared for. So we decided to open a private place where these people are going to get the high standard care, but they'll still be able to pay according to their finances.
Okay, so in your clinic, do you offer subsidized services?
Yes, we do. Our services are subsidized, and some of the services that we offer are actually free.
I see. Okay, what kind of services?
We offer free wellness consultations. So we actually believe that preventing disease before they occur would really help to reduce the cost of healthcare. So we give people that opportunity that they can come here and get health information, health education free of charge. So they can equally come to know their numbers, like their blood pressure, their blood sugar levels, their weight. So they can come here and we get those values for them free of charge. Then just in case they have, maybe they could go to other hospitals and they don't get enough information about the pathology they are suffering from or the medications that they have been prescribed, they can come to us and we give them this information.
So how long has the clinic been running?
This is the fourth year. We've been for 4 years now.
Now, I want to talk about the coronavirus pandemic. Mm-hmm. When did the first case hit Cameroon and where were you when you heard the news?
The first case was identified on the 5th of March. It was on the 5th of March in Yaoundé. That's where I am presently. So at that time, I think I was about 8 weeks pregnant when the first case was identified. So after that, the government still took some time to put in place measures. Like the government put in place a lockdown on the 18th of March. That's about 2 weeks after the first case was identified.
It must have been very stressful. You say you were pregnant.
Yes, I was pregnant. It was really very challenging for me because This is actually my first pregnancy, and I was really scared. I was so worried. I didn't want anything to happen to my baby. So basically, I went into depression because I was watching the news, everything about coronavirus. I was up to date with every information regarding the virus, and I wasn't even stepping out of the house. So it was really very difficult for me going through that moment.
Did you spend the rest of your pregnancy self-isolating?
No. I did not. I think by the month of July, I was really going out.
So what changed? What gave you the confidence to start going out in June?
From what we were getting on the news and what was happening in the other countries, there were so many people who were dying. And so I was very scared that it was going to happen here. I was afraid that that was the same thing that was going to take place in my country. I was afraid for my loved ones, for my husband, who was still working at the clinic at that time. So as time went on, we were waiting to start hearing, like, I have lost this family member to COVID, or I am infected by COVID and things like that. So we didn't really get that. And when I was self-isolating, almost everybody was living their lives like normal at one point in time. And we weren't really getting those cases. The government was no longer strict with the preventive measures like they were before. So to an extent, life went back to normal. And given the fact that I was fearful, looking at the circumstances I found myself in and the way things were going on in my country, well, I became confident. Well, to an extent, I felt like I could actually go out, because we weren't, even though I was going out, I was still taking the measures into consideration. I wasn't going out free like every other person was doing, because I still knew that I was vulnerable. I was pregnant and I had to consider that. And also as a health professional, I knew that this virus is actually something that we have to be careful. We shouldn't just live as normal.
Africa was affected by Ebola crisis a few years ago. Did Cameroon have any experience dealing with Ebola? Did that help in any way in Corona?
Well, Cameroon was not affected by Ebola. So that's one of the reasons why we weren't really strict when the coronavirus came. We didn't really take it seriously because we weren't affected by the Ebola virus.
Would you say people weren't taking the coronavirus seriously because Cameroon didn't have any experience dealing with the pandemic of this scale?
Right. At one extent, I can say that because we haven't been through a situation like this before. That's one of the reasons why we were not taking it seriously. And also one of the reasons why people here were not so serious about it is because here basically people feed from their day-to-day activities. Like the father of the house could go out in the morning and the whole day he has to earn like $1. And that is what the family has to feed on for that day. So telling them to stay at home, and the government wasn't even giving anything to assist the people who were staying at home. Telling these people to stay at home was like they were going to die from hunger. So most people were like, rather than stay in the house for fear of the virus and die of hunger, no, we prefer to go out and get infected by the virus. So because of that, people, they had to go out.
How long did the partial lockdown last, and when did people start going out?
The measures were actually followed just for about a month. Because in the beginning, people were actually trying to follow it, and they wanted to really take it seriously. And the government also promised, like, they were going to give some foodstuffs or some financial assistance to people. But the government didn't do that. So because of this, and also resulting from the crisis, many people lost their jobs. So those who lost their jobs, they had to survive by going out to do like a manual labor from one place to another to get some money.
How is the infection rate now? Is the infection rate the numbers announced by the government on a daily basis?
No, the Minister of Health no longer does that, because in the beginning he used to do a daily announcement on the infection rate, but now he doesn't do so. And when he used to do it, that was one of the reasons people were actually getting traumatized by the figures. Yes, so for now, no, he doesn't do it anymore. He could do it maybe monthly, or he doesn't even do it at all. Actually, there is a record, but the record is no longer published like it was in the beginning.
Would you say conversation about coronavirus has disappeared from people's lives?
Actually, in Cameroon, coronavirus, it's still on every lip. People are still talking about it because recently the government has started amplifying the campaign again about the virus, telling people to be careful because there are new cases that are coming up and things like that. So most people are actually making a drama out of it. People like, oh please, the government is trying to make money out of our lives. People are like, oh, do you know somebody who has corona? No. Do you know somebody who knows somebody who has had corona? They are like, no. And then when they say like that, they are like, no, it doesn't concern us.
What about testing? How accessible is testing?
People are not going to get tested. It's true that some are going to get tested, but others are not going. Others are not going because they are afraid, like, even if they have simple malaria, it's going to be attributed to coronavirus. So they'd rather stay and just treat it like it was a normal flu, or they'll take the traditional herbs, they'll take the traditional treatment for the symptoms that they have. Well, around testing, to be honest with you, testing here, there is a lot of, it's shitty. It's shitty because in some places you have to pay, in other places it's free and things like that. And then now one thing too is that people no longer trust. They no longer trust the test results, because recently there was a medical doctor who actually proved he used Coca-Cola. He put it on one of the test strips and it proved positive. So when people saw it, they were like, no, the government would actually use this as a means to have more cases, to have greater figures for people infected by the virus. So most people are really, they are skeptical about the results that they get.
What's the news on vaccination?
About vaccination, so many people are skeptical. I really just haven't yet come across any of my patients who wants to get vaccinated. So everybody is like, this vaccine, they are not sure about the efficiency of the vaccine. There is a lot of negative talk going around the vaccine. So some people are saying that with these vaccines, in the long run, you're going to get sicker. That with this vaccine, they are going to be able to control the whole world. So the vaccine would make you to be able to behave in a particular way. So people just don't want to get vaccinated. But recently, the government is having some discussions around bringing vaccines for, firstly, they are going to start with frontline personnel who'd get vaccinated in the first place.
Will you get the vaccination when it becomes available?
Well, given that I am not directly in the government, I am not integrated into the public service, I think that those who are in the public service are going to get it first. The health workers who are in the public service are going to get it first. And then after that, now, maybe the government is going to think about us in the private sector.
How is your son doing? What's his name?
My son is doing very well. His name is Ace.
You delivered your son in the middle of the pandemic. Can you describe how that experience was in the hospital?
Yeah, it was actually a very difficult delivery. I went through labor. I was 5 centimeters and the labor wasn't progressing. So I went through surgery. The hospital was taking precautions. It wasn't quite strict as it should be, but to an extent, it was the precautions were taken, like the hand washing, social distancing. It wasn't really respected, but the wearing of masks was actually strictly respected in the hospital, and the health professionals too were very professional.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Okay, thank you so much, Prata. My regards to everyone in Germany. I hope you're safe.
Here we are still under some form of lockdown. Hopefully things will start opening when vaccination rates go up. Then probably the infection rates will also go down, but vaccination is going at a really slow pace. Hopefully things will be better this summer.
I can imagine how difficult it would be for you having to stay indoors all the time. Courage and strength to you.
Hopefully things will be better for you also this summer, Jorans. Anyway,
thank you, and I'll let you go. And we will talk soon, yeah?
That was the first episode of the fourth season of Record of Change. We hope you enjoyed listening. In the next episode, my colleague Stephanie will talk to the returning guest Mackenzie Roller, who's an American Gen Zer, on a gap year before she goes to university next fall. President Joe Biden recently announced that all American citizens will receive a vaccine by May. Did Mackenzie receive the vaccine? Please join us to find out. You can listen to all our past episodes by following us on your favorite podcast app. Consider following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our website is recordofchange.com. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our feed, as it makes it easier for others to find the podcast. If you like supporting independent podcasts that bring unique stories from around the world, please consider supporting our work on Patreon. As a Patreon supporter, you will receive early access to episodes, bonus behind-the-scenes highlights, and opportunities to pitch questions for our future interviewees, alongside helping us to make the show. Even the smallest level of support could be a great boost as we strive to document the impact of COVID-19 on communities throughout the world. Thank you for your continued support. This podcast is implemented with and by members of the Bosch Alumni Network, a community that brings together former and current fellows, grantees, and staff members of the Robert Bosch Stiftung and its partners.